have you here this evening, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we ask as we do every service for your power on the preacher, the blessed rest of singing, and be with the testimonies, be with the loved ones we have that are traveling and out of town. Get them safe where they're going and bring them back safely when they're done with the visit. Take care of our loved ones that are sick in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
All right, we haven't sang this song in a little while. But we're singing Thanks to God. It's not in our current songbook. It was in our older one. Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and dreary fall. Thanks for tears now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. How many ever heard that song? We just sang it. Okay, well, good. Now that you kind of know how it goes, all right. Thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope, that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope tomorrow. Thanks for all eternity.
Always a blessing to have folks visiting with us. And I know we have some folks with us tonight. If you'll just slip your hand up for a moment, our ushers will get by. Good to have you folks with us. They're from New Mexico, right? And so Brother House is coming. He'll give you a card. I can't promise you a visit on Thursday night since you live so far away, but we do appreciate y'all coming. And after church, come by and shake their hands and let them know you're glad they were here. They're taking their daughter. She was working here in San Antonio. They're taking her back to New Mexico. Again, other than being in Texas or Missouri, I don't know if there's no other place that I'd rather be, so I don't know about New Mexico. But did drive through it a few times when we lived in California, so I can tell you in the summer it's very, very hot. So good to have you tonight. Don't forget the normal stuff. We changed tomorrow night. Usually we would have visitation. We went out last night, knocked on doors, and visited some older folks, and then had some folks saved, so that was a blessing. I think there was two kiddos saved last night, so it's always a blessing to have people saved. And then again, don't forget to keep praying for the folks that are sick. Now, most of you know, when I say Brother Steve, I didn't realize we have so many Steves in the church, so people have been asking me which Steve it is. His name is Steve Messery. He's one some of you know this, some of you don't. He has an artificial leg from the knee down. He's the one that brings the fruit and stuff. He's the one that brought the grapes or the bananas and the blueberries the other night, and he brings stuff for the buses, him and his wife, Elva. But he got bit by a rattlesnake on Monday. Now, when she called me Monday and said he got bit by a snake, there's lots of snakes that can bite you. Most of them are not poisonous, so she didn't know what type. She just said he was on the way to the hospital at the time. When I called back later in the day, I found out that it was a rattlesnake that bit him. He already had, they'd given him, when I talked to him on Tuesday, they'd already given him two doses of anti-venom, but his arm was about that big around, swelled up all the way here, and they kept marking how far the poison went, and he had marks up there, and then he had told him that he might need another dose, and they were trying to hold off because they said, I guess apparently there's not a lot of anti-venom around, so they didn't want to give him that last dose, so they didn't have to, or the third dose. But it got where when I saw him, he had marks on his back. It was starting to spread down his back and on past his shoulder. So yesterday they gave him the third dose of anti-venom. He said he's doing better today. Talked to him today. But again, bit by the rattlesnake on the hand. That's one of the reasons I don't, some of you know this, I live out in the country, I don't clear brush in the summertime. I always wait. Now, this time of year, usually it was a warm day that day is the only reason he got a rattlesnake out. Usually in the cold weather, they hibernate. They go down into dens and they hibernate. So I clear brush in the wintertime when hopefully the rattlesnakes are not around, because I always tell people if I'm down with a chainsaw, down, leaning down, cutting brush, and they're rattling, telling me, leave me alone, and I don't hear them, they figure I ignore them, and then they will strike at you. But he got bit. He was reaching. His wife owns a pallet yard. Some of you know what pallets are, but they make pallets and repair pallets and ship them out. He was reaching down to grab a pallet and got struck in the hand. And so, again, do pray for him. Pray for Ruth Salazar. That is Amanda Neighbor's friend. She asked us to pray for her. And also, Melissa Wallace has a coworker named Miranda. She's not here, Miranda. She had a miscarriage this week. And again, some of you know what that's like because you've been through one, and that's really, really tough for her first baby. She had a miscarriage, so pray for a young lady by the name of Miranda. Crystal said, thank you for your prayers for her. She still doesn't know about the interview and as far as the position that she was applying for, but she had us praying for her interview. So that is, the interview is done. She's waiting to find out whether she gets the position that she was applying for or not. Also, Kurt has asked us to pray for his parents. They're getting up in years and struggling sometimes as older folks do to get around. So don't forget to pray for them. Again, I talked to Brother Lowry a little bit ago. They put the surgery off on his eyes for a couple of weeks. They're going to do both of the eyes at the same time, and he's a little worried about that, because if they make a mistake, then they had in the past what they do is work on one eye, then a few weeks later work on the other eye, but they was trying to always leave him with one eye that he hopefully could see out of. But they're going to do both eyes on that same day, so do pray for Brother Lowry. And again, he still needs a kidney transplant, so pray for him as well. Had a lot of health issues the last few years. As I mentioned, we changed our schedule. Last night was soul winning. Tonight's church. Nothing going on tomorrow, nothing on Friday. Saturday we'll have bus visitation at 9:30, soul winning at 10:45, then back in our place for Sunday school at 9:45, church at 10:50. The bus were out, and the bus kids signed a card and said, thank you for the dinner that you provided. And again, I appreciate all of those of you that had a part in that provided a dinner for the bus kids on Sunday. If you walked by, they looked in there, you saw that they had quite a spread. The ladies put it all together, and the kids had a great time and ate a lot of food. And again, we don't know if all the families had. We'll have a big day tomorrow, but we know at least all of our bus kids had a dinner Sunday. And so they all had plenty of turkey and ham and other things. And so, again, don't forget to always pray for Preacher and Cindy. And then, again, always pray for our military, our leaders in Congress, and so on and so forth. Mrs. Peugeot, actually, Stephen, take these. This is two visits for Brother Peugeot for the bus route. I told him about them, and I don't want to forget them. If they stay up here, I will forget them. That's the two that got saved on Tuesday, and they like to ride the bus on Sunday. So I already talked to him about it, so he knows who they are. But if you can pass those along, and I need the cards back if you can. All right, I told you we'd have testimony time tonight. Oh, I forgot this. Brother, you'll see some of these. Brother Price and Brother Sells are making up tracks for us during the Christmas season that have a Christmas look on them. And so you can get those. They'll be out on the track rack. Also, Brother Price is selling, again, it's hard to find King James Version, Old King James Version verses that are quoted correctly in calendars. But he has calendars, still has some left. So if you want to buy a calendar, he told me what they cost, and I don't remember. Does anyone? $10. So you can get a calendar for $10. Also, on the front row, if you like honey, I have honey on the front row that you can come and get a bottle after church. I thought maybe you might need it during Thanksgiving to sweeten up stuff. But again, most of you know I have bees, so I brought honey. These are the little 8-ounce bottles. There's a bunch of those. And then there's a pound bottle. There's a half pound and also a pound. Depends on how much honey you use. But again, they're on the front row. I'd love for you to have one after church. Take that with you. We always want to have testimonies from time to time to let the Lord know how much we appreciate what he does. So I told you Sunday night we would have testimonies tonight. So we're going to do it as quickly as possible. AI, did you happen to have a microphone? Sorry about it. Oh, Sis has the microphone. I don't care, little Sis. You don't mind running around to people? Okay, so she just bumped AI out of AI's job. No problem. That's what happens, AI, when you don't get on the ball. All right, we'll start over here since Sis is over here. Anyone over here with a blessing? God's been good to you? Anyone with a blessing? Anyone maybe back from college and you're just glad to see us and that kind of thing?
It's a blessing to be back from Bible college.
Hey, I just thought maybe that might be. I don't know if there's anyone else back from Bible college that you know might also just enjoy being back home and enjoy being around the church folks. Oh, there's another one. That's just lucky me.
It's a blessing. it's a blessing to come back and see my siblings are serving. Sean's playing piano, and Talia is leading kids to the Lord. It's a blessing to see them doing that.
That is a blessing. Anyone else over there? Don't want to miss anyone? And you don't have to be back from Bible college to have a blessing. All right. Mom of the crowd, let's see what Mom has to say.
Well, it's a blessing for me. I was realizing the kids were all, when we were cleaning today, they were playing the piano and singing just because. So it's a blessing that, you know, all those times of piano playing and singing in church, it was just, it really blessed my heart. And they were just over there flipping through the hymns and singing them out. That was
good,
nice.
That is a good thing about holidays. I can tell you, Sean said there is a downside to having the two girls back. Sean, would you like to tell us what that was, what you told me? No, that's probably also, but Sean said it's awful noisy around the house again. That's what he said. Since the girls are back, he said there's a lot of noise around the house. All right, sis, you can leave those folks. Come on over here in this section. Anyone in this section with a blessing? Anyone with a blessing? God's been good to you. Go in the back to Mrs. Cools.
Just a blessing to be with my dear brother and sisters in the Lord tonight.
Good.
That was my blessing also, that I have Liberty Baptist Church here for the last 40 years. And I have friends and family here that are just have blessed me over the years. And my children, they're always there for me if I have need, although only one is in the state. The other children are out of state. But God has been so good to me. Thank you, Brother Block.
Yes, ma'am. Anyone else in there? Ellis, wave at us. Good to see Ellis back tonight. Some of you might recognize him. Good to have Ellis. All right.
It's a blessing to be back here in Liberty Church, and it's a blessing to be working with a very dear friend of mine. So,
good.
Thank you. It's good to see all y'all.
Good to see you too, Ellis. Brother Jose, what do you got to say?
It's just a blessing to be here. I love all of y'all. Y'all are very dear to my heart. It's good to be here. I've been here for about a year now, and that's a huge blessing. Y'all have all been a big blessing to my life. And I just thank God. He delivered me from a hard drug addiction about almost 3 years now. It'll be 3 years in March, and I just thank the Lord every day for that and the work that he's doing in my life. And Amen.
Appreciate it. I appreciate when he got here, he got into church, joined, and then he started visiting and soul winning and street preaching. He didn't just sit, fill a pew and sit around. He started doing stuff. Anyone else in this section? Yes, sir, brother.
I would like to thank God for my salvation, of being in Thanksgiving with my wife and daughter, and my health.
Yes, sir. Anyone in this section before we leave you? All right, anyone over here? Anyone with a blessing?
God's faithfulness and provision to me just blows me away. Like, I definitely don't deserve anything the Lord's done for me and anything anybody else has done for me. I'm just grateful that he loves me like he does and that you guys love me like you do. And it's an encouragement to be here. So.
Trust me, none of us deserve how good God is to us.
Amen. I just praise the Lord again for brothers and sisters in Christ. Got a good report back from the dermatologist. No sign of cancer or anything bad. So let's praise the Lord. And, just salvation through the blood. Can't ask for more than that.
Nope, can't. All right. Thank you, Brother Gary. Anyone else in that section? Anyone else? Don't be shy. All right. Head over here. Anyone over in this section? Yes, ma'am. Swing all the way across. Catch Mrs. Sharp.
Yes, my daughter's Graves' disease went into remission, and she doesn't have to have heart medication or thyroid medication anymore.
Amen. That's good. Anyone else over there? You got the Wallaces right in front of you, sis.
I'd just like to thank the Lord that even though our back window in our car was broken the other night in our driveway by some prankster, that at least it was that car, not the newer one. And we've already gotten it taken care of and fixed with the insurance. And I'm glad. But what the other preacher said, glad it was me that was breaking the windows. Amen.
Yeah. Out in the country, folks think it's funny to beat up on our mailboxes. I don't know how many mailboxes. it's a block. And I said, wait, there may be a couple more sis. I know Brother Bajot, and he's never, ever missed a testimony time, so we'll get to him in just a second. But we always got our mailbox beat up. So my wife said, can you get me a brick mailbox? And I said, they're expensive to make a brick mailbox. But finally, one time when Rick Ratcliffe was in town, we had him put up a brick mailbox. And then the mailman came by and said, you can't have a brick mailbox. And I said, sorry, we do. And they said, you can't have it. And it's supposed to be a certain height, but Rick knew that, made it that height. But when you go out and you can't open your mailbox door because someone beat it up, or they knocked it completely off the, and again, sometimes there's people that they like to get in the back of a truck or car and they go by with ball bats. So I told my wife, I said, now I'd like for them to go by with the ball bat and hit that. So, but it wasn't our back window. It was usually our mailboxes. All right. Did you catch Brother Bajot? There he is.
It was a blessing to see all y'all's love and care for the young people, the bus kids and everything, and just to see their faces and how they just look, you know, great, like filling their plates. And then when somebody came and said, hey, they can have seconds. And it was like, wow, you don't always get that, you know, seconds. And then they got to go back for seconds.
I don't know where you've been. I always get seconds.
Then somebody came and said, go ahead and tell them all that if they want to make a plate to take home to their parents. And it was like, wow, what a testimony. And so when they see this, I knew that, you know, the families and folks were like, wow. So not only did you eat, they let you make a plate and bring it home to us. And it's like, wow, okay. So I'm really looking forward to see the effect that made.
Yeah, we do appreciate it. That was a card that I mentioned. And again, we had one young lady saved Sunday from the bus route. It's always a blessing to see somebody get saved. And then to see, again, Douglas told me that day when he sat down in front, he said, I'm going to eat turkey. He said, I'm going to eat a lot of turkey. That's what Douglas said. Anyone else over here with a blessing? Now you got shy. I didn't ever know Levi had a shy spot.
That.
What are you thankful for, Levi?
That my family.
What was that?
That sounds good enough.
I don't know what he said, but okay. His family. All right. Anyone that we missed want to say something before we head with the microphone back to the microphone place? All right. Brother Taylor.
All right, let's all stand. We're going to sing Count Your Blessings. When upon life's pillows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done.
I was waiting for somebody to say they're thankful for Texas, because if you've been in any of those other states that didn't open back up after COVID or during COVID, some of you would still be without a job, and you'd be trying to figure out how to pay the car and the house payment and all the rest of that. I'm so thankful for the governors, and we got one of them
Amen.
That tries to go by the true science and not by the politics and open our state back up a long time ago, and by the way, has worked really hard to keep it open.
Amen. All right, in the last verse. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. God had done.
I didn't know who was praying, so I didn't want to take someone's place. Brother Nichols told me to just remind you, and I said, well, I did a while back, and most of everybody remembers. What we do during the offerings on Wednesday night during this season is it goes toward the Christmas bonus for the staff during the Christmas season. So he told me to remind y'all. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that we live in Texas. Thank you for Liberty Baptist Church and all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. For the housing.
Okay. Let's sing Jesus Led Me All the Way. Someday life's journey will be o'er, and I shall reach that distant shore. I'll sing while entering heaven's door. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Led me step by step each day. I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way. If God should let me there review the winding paths of earth I knew, it would be proven clear and true. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Led me step by step each day. I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way, and hitherto my Lord hath led. Today he guards each step I tread, and soon in heaven. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Led me step by step each day. I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way.
Open your Bibles tonight to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. We'll read one verse there. Brother Nichols preached Sunday morning on thankfulness. And he gave you these points. He said, it ensures. Jose, see if they've got the lapel mic. I didn't even think about it till now. Just go back to the sound room. I don't know if I'll stand still, but I might walk around. I forget Brother Nichols doesn't, so he likes this, but I like not to be tied to the pulpit. Brother Nichols mentioned Sunday morning that again, thankfulness, it ensures doing the will of God because of the verse in Thessalonians where it says, in everything give thanks for this is the will of God. He said it glorifies God, by the way, and it does, and it's good for you. So tonight I want to speak for just a couple moments again about Thanksgiving, but thinking brings Thanksgiving. If you spend a little time contemplating, and again, that's why I told you the other night, thank you, sir, that we'd be having blessing time, because I wanted you to be able to think about some things that you're thankful for. And I can tell you, we all have so much to be thankful for. Any one of us could talk for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes and still have things that we forgot or things that we missed. And again, I can tell you this, God is, as Brother Gary mentioned, God is better to us than what we deserve. Maybe it was you, brother, but one of the guys back there did. But again, mentioned that God's better to us. I listened to one of the guys on the talk radio on AM 1200, and they always ask him how he's doing, and he always says, better than I deserve. And by the way, that is true of all of us. God is a lot better to all of us than we deserve. But in Hebrews chapter 13, notice verse 5, we're going to talk about something this evening as far as thinking brings thanksgiving. Notice verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Now that's your lifestyle, not just your conversation with verbs, with your words. And be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now notice the phrase in the middle, and be content with such things as you have. I'm a big believer, and that's one of my first point is that contentment brings thanksgiving. Now there are a lot of folks that aren't thankful because they don't have what they want, or they don't have what they think they deserve. So because of the fact that they're wanting something else, they're not happy here. My youth director used to say this, the devil has a master plan. He tries to make kids where they want to be teenagers, teenagers where they want to be adults, and then and again, he always tries to get us to do something, I mean, always want to be someone or somewhere that we are not. And he also always told us, he said, your life is like a wash machine. He said, the devil always tries to get you to skip a step. And he said, if you have a wash machine, and again, some of you don't ever wash clothes, you would have no idea what I'm talking about, but I've washed a lot of clothes through the years. When you put that stuff in, the first thing it does is it fills up with water. And then it sloshes around for a little while. And then it spins, which is throwing the water out. And then you know what it does? It usually fills up with water again. And the reason it drained that first water out, it was dirty. You really didn't want that dirty water in there. It throws that dirty water out, fills up again, sloshes around a little bit more, spins again. Now, by the way, if you take those clothes out any time during that cycle, if you take them out, now, if you've ever had a wash machine that didn't spin right, you pull those clothes out and you realize this, my dryer is never going to dry this. This is sopping wet. And again, you want to run your dryer, throw clothes in there that have all that water in there. It'll get back on the heating element, and you'll end up without a dryer as well. Now your wash machine and your dryer is broke. But the truth is, he used to say the devil always wants us to be something we're not. Always wants us, and always tries to get us to look down and see something else that we want. And so we're always trying to get stuff. And by the way, when he mentions here, notice again what he said, and be content with such things as you have. Now, I don't know what you have tonight. Some of you have more than I do. Some of you have less than I do. Some of you have more than others. Some of you have less than others. But by the way, again, all of us, I guarantee you this, all of us have more than we deserve. And all of us have more usually than we even need. I don't know about you. One of the things that I really hate is I hate wasting. And I can tell you, if you're like me, there's times you throw stuff out. You know why you threw it out? Because you didn't eat it for a spoil. You didn't finish it. You cook something, you ate some of it, you put it back in the fridge, you meant to finish it up, and a few days later, you realize it's moldy or it's bad, and you wasted food. You know what that meant? You had more food than you could eat. That's what it means. I don't know if you've ever been like me, but if you went through the how many of you have ever went through the cabinet and found cans in the cabinet out of date? Now, I can tell you those cans in the cabinet last for 2 years. So for your cans to be out of date, I mean, that means you had those cans in there for a long time, more than 2 years. One time I looked at the back of the can, I thought, I wonder how long this lasts. And I thought, good Lord, what in the world do they put in this to make it last 2 years? But it was good for 2 years. Now, understand, you didn't eat it. You threw that can away because you had so much food, you didn't empty your cupboard. You didn't empty your cabinet. And the truth is, most of us have more than we need. So it's not that most of us do not live. Now, we may live paycheck to paycheck. But I can tell you, most of us have more in our cupboards and more in our fridges. To this, some of us have two fridges because one fridge is not enough to hold the junk in the first fridge. We was in that position for years. Still am. I don't know why I have a second refrigerator, but I have two refrigerators. Contentment. Now, I said, again, thinking brings thanksgiving. If we'll think about how good God's been to us, we'll think about some stuff that we have, it'll make us be thankful. So let me pray, and then we'll look at a couple things tonight that may be a help and a blessing to you. Lord, I ask you to give me the ability to get the thoughts across that you gave me and to be a help to somebody tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, notice I said the first thing I told you was I told you that my first point was contentment brings thanksgiving. Go to Philippians chapter 4, the verse we always think about when we think about the verse on contentment. But we're going to read a couple verses there. We'll read verse 11, 12, and 13. Philippians chapter 4. I said contentment brings thanksgiving. If you have found yourself content, you've got to the point that you're happy with what you've got, with what God's given you, with who you are, you'll find that you have something to be thankful for. Again, notice what Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 says. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, let me tell you this. When he says, I have learned, it is not something that comes by nature. By nature, we are selfish. By nature, we are greedy. By nature, we always want more and more and more and more. We're never happy. But he said, what Paul says is, I've learned. I had to teach myself. I had to learn. Just like you have to learn math and English and social studies and science, Paul said, I had to learn to be content. Because I was always looking, wanting more and more, but I had to realize, you know what? I need to be happy with where I'm at today. He said, I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. And now notice in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. What that means is, I know how to do, I mean, when things are bad, I've been there. I've been there when things were tough. You know what? He said, I've been there when things are going good. You know what that's called? Life. You know what life has? Ups and downs. It is. It's just part of life. He goes on and says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, a verse we often quote, and a very good verse, by the way, to memorize. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I said this, contentment brings thanksgiving. And I can tell you this, you can't be thankful unless you're content. Till you're happy with again, what God's given you, you won't be thankful. You'll always be wanting something else. You'll always be discontent. You'll want more. You'll be chasing more. By the way, that always brings unhappiness. There are a lot of people that are unhappy. And again, they have a lot more than most people, but they don't have as much as they want or as much as they think that they need. I can tell you, happiness shouldn't be in stuff. Stuff. When David and his men went off after, the Bible says he left some guys behind with the stuff. That's what the Bible called it, the stuff. Now, what that meant was all the extra things that they couldn't carry with them into battle. By the way, most of us, if you've ever moved, you realize how much stuff you have. And I can tell you, we all have a lot of stuff. Truth is, I have stuff at my house I don't even know I have. And I don't know about you. You probably have stuff at your house you don't even know you have. Now, that's a good thing about being forgetful, and that's also the good thing about being a hoarder. Not that I'm a hoarder, but I could be close. And I mean, I at least I put my stuff in bins and stack them in neat piles. But the truth is, sometimes I go through them and I think, that's where it is. I mean, I knew I had it somewhere. I've lost some good stuff before. I lost a gun one time. Someone said, you know where that gun that I showed you? And I said, I have no idea where that gun's at. I found it a while later, and it was like, hey, I have a gun. But again, happiness isn't in stuff. By the way, you may not have as much as some, but I can tell you this, what you have is yours. You know, I'm glad I don't live in an apartment. We've lived in apartments. You know, an apartment can tell you, they can tell you whether you can put nails in your walls or screws in your walls or not. I don't know if you ever lived in an apartment that tells you that, but there are apartments that make rules that you, by the way, they can tell you whether you can have kids or not, or cats or not, or dogs or not, all kinds of stuff. You know what? You know what I can do to my walls? Anything I want. You know why? Because they're my walls. I have catfish in my pond. Now, I don't go down and do crazy stuff with my catfish, but if I want to go down and take a stick of dynamite, light it and throw it in there, go fishing that way, it may even be illegal on my property. I don't know, so don't quote me on that. But I can do a lot of stuff to my catfish that I couldn't do other places because they're my catfish. I put them in there. I fed them. I raised them. They're mine. Now, I'm not going to do this because my cow is worth some money, but if I wanted to, I could go cow hunting tonight. I could go out tonight, and I could take my 30-06 out there, and I could say to myself, I'm like Wild Bill Hickok. I'm going buffalo hunting, but it's a Black Angus. And I mean, if I want to, I could shoot every one of my cows. Now, I'd be pretty stupid to do that, but I could if I want to because you know what? They're mine. You know what your stuff is? Yours. By the way, we all have a lot of stuff. We ought to be thankful for the stuff we have. Again, what is it? Again, by the way, your little is much more than most people's on this planet. Years ago, my dad, again, a farmer in Missouri, in the beautiful land of Missouri, where someday in the future the Latter-day Saints believe that's going to be where the New Jerusalem is. And I'm not lying about that. They really do believe that's going to be in that part of Missouri where I grew up. They may be right. I'm not sure. It is beautiful and wonderful. I'm sorry. I got to preach out here. I can't think about it. But again, my dad had 44 acres, had a farm. We had a missionary come over, that priest at our church. We brought him out to the house to feed him dinner. He was from India. Now, I'm talking about India 40 years ago, India. I don't know what India is like today. Probably still as poor and impoverished as it was then. But back then, I mean, they would take dump trucks up and down the streets and pile the dead bodies in them and take them out and dump them in mass graves. I mean, India was in terrible, terrible shape. I remember he stood up on a stump on my dad's land. He stood up on that stump and he went, "Ah, Mr. Block, in your country, you must be a very rich man." And my dad said, "Oh, Mr. Thomas, in my land, I am a very poor man." Most of you know this about farmers. They're thankful if they can just feed the kids, put clothes on their back, and pay the house payment. Most farmers don't make a lot of money. My dad, by the way, but to Mr. Casey Thomas, the fact that we had a car and a truck and a house and a barn and land and animals, that was more than, I mean, we seemed rich to him. So I said again, your little is much more than most people all around the planet. Now, it may not be as much as the guys that live in the Dominion. It may not be as much as some of the movie stars and ball players, but I guarantee you, in America, we are very lucky. And by the way, you and I could have been born in some other country. It was only by the grace of God that he allowed us to be born here. And by the way, you could have been born in another state instead of the state of Texas or like me in the state of Missouri. You could have been born in California, and you could have grew up in the California schools and been really a knucklehead. Again, contentment brings thanksgiving. We have to be very careful. I heard this in a message a while back, and it stuck with me. He said a lot of people want to live in the land of Ur. They want to be richer, prettier, better, faster, smaller, taller. And he said, if they ever get that, if they ever accomplish getting into the land of Ur, they're not happy. Now they want to move to the land of Est. They want to be the richest and the prettiest and the best and the tallest and the most talented and the fastest and the smartest. Now listen to me. They ask a rich man, a millionaire, a billionaire one time, they ask him how much he had, and he told him, and they said, how much more do you need? You know what he told him? Just a little more. By the way, when he got a little bit more, you know how much more he wanted? A little bit more and a little bit more. I can tell you, I've known a lot of people with money, and I've seen a lot of miserable people. If money brings misery, I can do without it. Because I know a lot of people that don't have a lot of money, and they're a lot happier than those folks. So if you're wondering if stuff will make you happy, stuff will not make you happy. Truth is, if you're not happy where you're at right now, you won't be happy if you get rich. You'll be just as miserable then, because it doesn't come from the stuff. Don't get me wrong, by the way, every Christian is supposed to be our best. When I said, but we should not, again, that's why Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I mean, we're supposed to be the best we can be. But you know what, brother Jack Hiles and John R. Rice, and Lester Roloff and Dwayne Nichols have in common? Oh, they could have been somebody out in the world, but they gave their best for God's use. They didn't do it to make money. Brother Hiles could have, there was a time they offered him thousands of dollars, because he's quite a motivational speaker. If you've ever heard Brother Hiles, you'd realize they offered him thousands of dollars to go around the country and do motivational speeches. But you know what? He wasn't interested in that. Because he wasn't interested in money. He was interested in getting people saved. He was interested in running another bus route and having another soul winning program and getting another preacher boy out of graduating from Bible college. That was important to him, not the stuff. Second truth tonight, I said, contentment brings thanksgiving. The second truth is this: we have stuff that's valuable, but it's not physical. What I mean by that is, go to John chapter 10. You'll see the first thing I'm talking about. If you're saved here tonight, John chapter 10, verse 28 says this, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you and I are saved, you know what we have? Eternal life. I don't know about you. That is priceless. Truth is, if you was a millionaire, you couldn't even afford eternal life tonight. If you was a trillionaire, you couldn't even. If you owed more than our national debt, you still couldn't afford salvation, because it was offered to us as a gift. By the way, those of us who are saved, we have some stuff far more valuable than that nice house in the Dominion and that fancy car and all those other things. We got an eternal home. And by the way, we'll have a fancy house someday. And we'll walk on streets of gold someday. And I don't know, maybe the sidewalks will go too. I don't know, it doesn't say anything about the sidewalks. But I can tell you, we're going to live in a really nice place someday. Amen. And you know what? We won't even have to have a gated community, and we won't have to have guards, because up there's not going to be any sin or sickness or a whole lot of other stuff. Again, we have stuff that's very valuable, but it's not physical. We have salvation. We have the church family. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We'll read a verse there, and then we're going to go to Mark chapter 10. Both of them talk about the same similar thing. But Matthew chapter 19, notice verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Now what he says is, if you give up stuff for me, you will get a hundredfold stuff back to you. Notice Mark chapter 10. And again, I've used this verse, and I've seen it true in my life, and Miss Block's life, before she went to heaven. But notice Mark chapter 10, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's, shall receive a hundredfold. And here's what he says in verse 30. But he shall receive a hundredfold now, and this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Now here's what you have to understand. Brother Block gave, I lived in Missouri. That's where all my aunts and uncles live. That's where most of my relatives live. So I left my kin folks. You know what happened when I came to San Antonio? I got more family than I had there. Right. I have brothers. Now again, there are many of you ladies that I call mom, because you're a little older than me, and some of you, it's getting harder to be older than me, because the older I'm getting, I mean, all the folks that are older than me, now they're all up in heaven looking down, waving. I mean, but I call some of you mom, or call some of you grandma. I call most of you brother or sister. I don't even know some of your first names. I keep getting a couple of our folks' names wrong. I mean, I've called Raymond the wrong thing. I've called some of the rest of you the wrong thing. But the truth is, I tell people, I'm great with faces, and I'm terrible with names.
Brother Perry used to say, well, just say the name several times, and that's good. And right then I can remember your name. That doesn't help me tomorrow. Because tomorrow I'm thinking, oh, man, what was her name again? So if you're wondering why I just say, hey, baby, how you doing to the little girls, it's because I don't know their names. Someone was wondering why I shaved off my beard and mustache. It's because I didn't want the young ladies that give me hugs and kisses to get the tickles. Because Gabby and her sister, they give me hugs and kisses sometimes, and I give them kisses, and I just didn't want to tickle their faces and scratch their little faces. Some of you don't know who I'm talking about. The visitors, it's not an older one. It's my little 4 and 5-year-old, so we're good. But the truth is, he said, if you give up family, I'll give you family back. You give up houses and lands, I'll give you that back. Again, we have the church family. And I can tell you, the church family, they'll be there sometimes when your regular family is not. And they'll do stuff for you that sometimes your regular family will not. And they'll love you, and they'll, I mean, again, I can tell you this. I told someone the other day, they told me after Mrs. Block passed, I should go get some counseling. And I said, I've had a lot of counseling from my brothers and sisters and my loved ones here at Liberty Baptist Church. And the fact that you were just there for me and that you prayed for me and that you cared about me made a big difference. Again, we have some stuff that's not physical that money can't buy. We have salvation. We have the church family. We have prayer. Notice Matthew chapter 7. Now, you may not consider what prayer is, but prayer is the ability to talk to God, and he hears you. Now, the lost can talk to God, but God doesn't guarantee he'll hear them. Notice Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. We have the ability to talk to God. Now, there are folks that would love to meet the president. There's folks that would love to meet some sports hero, sports star. We can talk anytime we want to. We have a direct line to God. I mean, we don't often think about that, but that's what we have when we got saved. He is our Heavenly Father. We have the ability to pray. We also have the ability for God to talk to us. Notice 2 Timothy in your Bibles. We have the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us this, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We have the Word of God. So not only can we talk to God, but God talks to us. Amen. Now, some of you are like me. Sometimes we talk to ourselves, and that's not really very productive sometimes. But we have the ability in prayer to talk to God, and then we have the ability in reading the Word of God to have God talk to us. I don't know how many times God's talked to me through the Word of God. Now, I can tell you, I'm a lot better talking to God than I am letting God talk to me, because like a lot of us, we like to talk, and we don't always like to listen. But I can tell you, I'm not making light of prayer, but I can tell you we need to make sure we spend some time in the Word of God, because His Word's a lot more important than our words. So we have salvation if we're saved. We have the church family. If you give up some of your family, He gives you church family to replace it. We have prayer and Bible. And we have some things, again, that money can't buy. And then the last thing, and I'll be done, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And my last thought is this. Don't look at what you don't have, but look at what you do have. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now I can tell you this. I don't see anyone naked tonight. Now I've been to some churches where there wasn't a lot of clothes on some people, but thank goodness most of you put a few clothes on. And I've been out in public where some of them don't put on a lot of clothes. So you think some people are almost naked. But he said, you know what? When you was born, you didn't have anything. I don't know about you. When I was born, I didn't have any clothes on. I didn't have a bank account. I didn't have a car or a house. You know what? You know how much I was worth? My world worthly. I mean, if you'd have looked at my bank account, it would have said zero. Now, the truth is, I have more than that now, and you have more than that now because God's been good to us. But by the way, even if we don't, it doesn't. What he said is, you know what? You brought nothing in. And by the way, you can't take anything from this world back there. We've often used the story. You've heard it many, many times, but it's appropriate here. There's a fellow that hoarded his gold, saved and worked and hoarded his gold, had it in a bag. And by the way, this is just a story because it isn't. You can't really take stuff like this to heaven, but he showed up in heaven. And St. Peter wanted to know why he was covering that bag and wanted to know what was in that bag. And the fellow said, no, this is mine, leave it alone. And St. Peter grabbed the bag and it busted open, fell out on the ground. And you know what St. Peter said to him? You got asphalt. Yeah. You know why? Because that's what the streets of heaven are paved with, gold. So you know what he had? He had stuff that had no real value. They were walking on it up there. Now, down here, it has a great value. But up there, I mean, gold's what the streets are made of. He said, you came in this world with nothing. You're going to leave with nothing. Now, that is not true that you and I cannot lay up some treasures in heaven. We're just not going to be able to take anything physically with us on the way up. We can send some stuff ahead. It's kind of like putting stuff in a savings account. I sometimes tell people, someone will thank me for something, and I'll say, don't thank me. I mean, I'm doing it for, I mean, I'll get paid someday. And there may be days you don't get paid. There may be times people don't appreciate or notice what you do. They don't always tell you thank you. By the way, you shouldn't. Now, it's nice when people do notice and people do say thank you. But whether people ever say thank you or not, don't worry about that. He saw. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord in every place. We always know He sees us when we do wrong. Beholding the evil. But that's not where the verse ends. And the good. God, see, there's nothing you've ever done that went unnoticed by your Heavenly Father. And He's keeping track. When you get to heaven someday, you'll get some rewards. By the way, there might be people that you and I thought were, and again, I grew up in a small town with a small country preacher. There are a lot of preachers like that all across the country. They're not in a big city. By the way, they're faithful to that, those 40 or 50 or 60 or 100 people. Sometimes we think a guy like Brother Howes or a guy like Lester Roloff or a guy like Jerry Falwell, a guy like some of these other big-name preachers, and again, many of them were very godly men as well. I'm not making light of them, but we always look at them and think, wow. And listen to me. God is going to bless, going to reward us based on our faithfulness. That's what He told the servants. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. All He cared was the talent. I gave you this much, and you did something with it. I gave you this much, and you did something with it. Not all of us have the same amount, but by the way, as long as we turn that into something else, as long as we take what He gives us and put it to His use, put it to His work, put it in the ministry. Doesn't, and again, if you have a bunch of talent and you're only using it for the world, again, it might be that your talent is what you use for your job. But use it for more than just your job. I told someone this a while back. This was several years ago. They was always talking about wanting to kill themselves and life wasn't worth living. And I said to them, why don't you go down to HEB, walk down there to the food area, buy about 100 turkeys, put them turkeys in a cart. It was a Thanksgiving time just like this. And it wasn't this year, it was several years ago. And I said, why don't you go out in the parking lot? You're going to find some people that's got baskets full of food, and you're going to find some that hardly have any food in their basket. I said, pass out those turkeys. And I said, see the smiles on their faces and the tears that come down, roll down those cheeks and the smile, I mean, and the hugs that you might get. And I said, you know what? You're going to find out. That money that, again, he was making $5,000, he's retired twice, making $5,000 a month, using it for nothing except himself. And I said, you know what? He knew, and he has several talents and abilities. I said, go out and do stuff for folks. There are old folks that you can do stuff for. By the way, there are young folks you can do stuff for. I can tell you, we have mechanics in our church that sometimes have been such a blessing to me because I know nothing about cars. You say, Bill Block, what do you know about cars? If I get in, I turn the key and it goes vroom, 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 we're good. Now, I can check the tires, and I do check the oil, and I check the water from time to time and a few other things, but as far as the rest of it, I have no idea. We have some guys in the church that have been a big blessing to me from time to time, I mean, because they helped me with something that I had no idea how to do it. Again, there are some things that, again, you came into this world with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing, but you can send up some treasures in heaven. He said that lost people are going to have stuff that's going to burn up. It's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. You and I want to make sure we send some stuff forward that's precious stuff, not the stuff that's going to burn up, not the selfish stuff, not the stuff for ourselves. God's not going to reward you for what you did for yourself. God's going to reward you for what we did for others. By the way, whether we obeyed this book and we kept His commandments, I mean the things He told us to do, whether we stayed faithful to church, whether we gave of our tithe. And by the way, you tithe, God blesses you here. I love tithing. Because tithe blesses me here, and then tithe blesses me there. I mean, it's a win-win. Now, there's not a lot of things in life that's a win-win, but tithing is, giving is, by the way, serving God is. Because I can tell you this, I've had all kinds of blessings from serving God here, and I have no idea what I'm going to get up there. But, by the way, if I didn't have anything waiting for me up there, just the blessings I've had down here has made it well worth all the effort and time that we put in. And you'll find this. I don't know how many times some of you bus workers have been in a grocery store and you about got knocked down because all of a sudden, I mean, you were just shopping and all of a sudden, bam! I mean, you look down, there was a little kid attached to your leg. And you look down at them And there's a lady or a man looking at you like, what are you doing with my kid? I mean, because they don't know who you are either. And the kid turns around and goes, this is Brother Block from the church. Or this is Brother Taylor from the church. Or this is Brother Peugeot from the church. And then they come over and go, oh, man, thank you. Listen to me. If I didn't have any rewards waiting for me up there, I've been rewarded down here a whole bunch. But if you live right, you do what God tells you to do, you'll get rewards up there as well. Now, again, I said, learn to be happy. What he said in that last verse, notice what he said again, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. You don't need anything more than that. It's nice to have more than that, but you don't need anything more than that. You don't. Dad used to say, as long as you have a roof over your head, food in your tummy, and clothes on your back, you got it pretty good. Now, there's sometimes we want more than that, but I can tell you, sometimes we eat too much. Sometimes, we buy too much. Sometimes we have a house we can't afford, cars we can't afford, because we just keep thinking we want to go to that land of Ur. We want to have something nicer and better and bigger. Learn to be content. If you learn to be content, you'll find that there's happiness there, and you'll have some thanksgiving. You'll learn to look to God every day and just say, God, thank you that I'm alive. I know this is true of Brother Gary because he has a wife that has constant sickness. I know it's now true of Brother Adam because he has a wife that's constantly sick and has a lot of issues. And some of you have some as well, that's a husband or wife that's like that. But I used to, when Mrs. Block was so sick for so long, for so many years, I told folks, if she just woke up in the morning and felt good that day, we just thank God for that day. We had no idea how she's going to feel tomorrow, but if today's a good day, we were so thankful that today was a good day. Because tomorrow, yesterday was a bad day, and tomorrow might be another bad day. We were just saying, listen to me, if you've had issues in your life, and some of you have health issues, one day I woke up and I thought, something's wrong. And I thought, my knee don't hurt. And I just took some time to thank the Lord because, my knee had hurt for so long. When it didn't hurt, it took me a second to remember, to realize something's different. Now again, God's good to us. When you finally get to the point that you can thank God for what you have here, you'll find, by the way, that contentment that comes and that joy that comes over you, you'll realize how good God is. And then you'll start saying, thank you, God. And by the way, when you say thank you, it makes him want to give you some more. Like Brother Nichols said the other day, the one little boy said thank you. The lady said, I like a boy that says thank you when he gets a piece of pie. And then remember what he said? The little boy looked at him and said, you give me some ice cream and I'll tell you thank you again. By the way, God's like that. If he opens a door for you and gives you stuff and you don't say thank you, he thinks, what an ingrate. He doesn't want to do anything more for you. You didn't thank him for the last stuff. Every day we ought to be thankful to what God's given us and what God's done for us. By the way, we don't always know what he keeps us from. He runs interference. He's like a big linebacker. He runs interference in front of us. We don't know how many times we would have got hit if it wasn't for the grace of God and the angels of God protecting us. Amen. God's good. Far better than we deserve. Amen. Make sure we take the time to say thank you. Father, appreciate your love to us. Appreciate all you've done for us. Thank you for Liberty Baptist Church, for our preacher, and for the church folks here.